Recorded in Seattle, Washington. It's an earful in the Emerald City.
Hold on to your butt.
Where local and national gossip is twisted with comedy. Starring Shoddy and Slim. Two typical guys who hold nothing back.
What the hell is so great about that?
To make your jaw sore.
Oh, that's nasty.
Get your mind out of the gutter and give it up for Shoddy and Slim.
What is happening, y'all? How's it going, guys? Earful in the Emerald City. You're listening live right now.
Well, bitch, we are not live.
Yeah,
we are not live. We are recording.
The only way you're hearing this live is if you're the NSA and you're tapping into our phones here. That's the only way. But we're coming at you guys. How's it going? How are you guys doing? How was the weekend? It was, oh man, you know, I say it was a crazy weekend a lot. This one definitely lived up to that mantra. And it's one that I don't think people are going to forget for a while. And that's for multiple reasons. And we're definitely going to hit those here as we go on. But a lot of big stuff going down. A lot of crazy things. What's going on with you? This is Slim here, my man over here. Shoddy, what's going on with you, brother?
What up, motherfuckers? So, man, I didn't have a eventful weekend like I expected to. I wanted to go to the Mustard Seed Pub in Bellevue to watch the Ronda Rousey fight. She wasn't so rowdy like we expected her to be. What happened? She got some sweet chin music right in the face. Jeez, man.
Shit. Got to watch that leg kick, man. The leg kick is brutal. That is one of the most underrated moves in MMA. People don't give it a lot of credit. You don't see it in the street fights. Nobody, you don't see it on World Star Hip Hop, but
World Star.
That is the move that'll get you, and it got her this weekend. Goddamn. Did you actually get to catch any of the fight? Did you watch it at all?
I saw the second round where she got knocked out, and Holly Holm, like, had her from... She was behind Rousey, and I think she was about to bear hug her, and then Holly Holm just with that left leg, boom, right in Ronda Rousey's moneymaker. And I'm like, and she went down, and Holly started going after her, and the ref called it off, and like everyone was like, what happened? Like, what the fuck just happened? That Ronda Rousey just lost? Like, it is crazy. I guarantee you, Cyborg, you know, Floyd Mayweather, all of these, all around Rousey's enemies, like, they were probably laughing their ass off because, did you know that Ronda Rousey did not, she didn't touch gloves at the beginning of the fight?
Like, this fight too.
Yeah.
I heard that she hadn't done that before. What was the reason this time?
She's arrogant.
Yeah.
And I think her arrogance caught up to her. I don't know. I'm a Rousey fan. You know, when you're undefeated, I always felt like when you're undefeated in a sport that it's not a team sport, you know, you're the one that's responsible for your win-loss column. No one else, you know. It's not a team, you know, MMA is not a team sport, and I feel like, yeah, you know, you know, she puts in so much training, and, you know, she's proud for what she does, and I feel like she has the right to be arrogant and big-headed. So, you know, but like I said, arrogance catches up to you. You know, it caught up to Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, you know, and Michael Jordan, etc.
It's this fight was a perfect example of why Ronda Rousey is the top paid athlete in the UFC. She ended up losing. She got her ass beat. And here we are. We're still talking about it. We're still saying how amazing of a fight it was. We're still jacked. My buddy's sending me texts as it goes on, the buddy of mine who is the least into sports, he's texting me, oh my God, Rozzy's going to lose. She got Kato. Ah, he's going nuts about it. So there's a lot of talk these days about income inequality, the gender gap, the glass ceiling. Ronda Rousey is making more money than anybody in the UFC. And even in a loss, she still proved this weekend why. And it was that fight was just a all-out slugfest, okay? I mean, you got to give Ronda some props. It's not like she went in there and just got rolled over by this chick. She put up a good fight. She got some good shots in, but at the end of the day, this girl was just too much for her. And like you said, it was probably her arrogance. She probably came into the fight, was saying the thought that this bitch couldn't touch her and maybe didn't train enough. She fought pretty recently. I think her last fight was 3 or 4 months ago, which she didn't take any damage, so that was good for her. But still, it's not as much time as you would like them to have between these events. And maybe that showed here. I don't know what it was, but it was a good fight. You got to give Holly Holm her credit. She was throwing some haymakers, and she was landing some big shots. And just seeing how uncomfortable and how unused to Rousey being just beaten that way, like one of Floyd Mayweather's girlfriends, it was surprising, but again, showed why she's the top paid, top attention getter. And I can't even imagine the hype and the money and everything that's going to go in to the rematch here. I mean, she might have made herself more money by losing this fight. Not that she would. I mean, I'm sure she got paid good for Expendables 3. I'm sure that one worked out well, but she might make more money in the rematch here.
She had the number one hashtag.
Oh my God.
Did you see what her hashtag was? What the hashtag was after the fight? Hashtag pray for Ronda Rousey.
Oh my God. That's hateful.
Yes.
Oh geez. That's pretty funny though.
Hashtag pray for Ronda Rousey. And there were so many memes on after the fight. I think my favorite one, and it's a common one, but it happened to someone who we never thought would get knocked out. It's Smokey from Friday saying his infamous line, "You got knocked the fuck out."
She was laying on her back. And there was actually a thumbnail in one of the articles I read, and it showed her that picture.
Slim wouldn't mind having her on her back, right?
Well, hopefully, hopefully she'll be a little more conscious than she was yesterday.
Yeah, you know, if she was like that, if she was like that,
not into the dead fish thing.
You know, if she was like that, you know, I may have to worry about you a little bit if she was unconscious on her back and you know, in your bedroom.
There might be some cause for concern there, no question.
Yes.
She was laying there, though, and, yeah, she looked like she definitely had no clue where she was.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Holly got her with a couple of those hammer fists at the end, man. I mean, after the first one, she was done, and then she got one more in there before the ref got there, and that was a fucking blow right in the face. I mean, you. This is just Ronda. I feel for you, girl. I'm sure you woke up today and you're fucking hurting. You had a good fight. It was crazy too seeing Ronda try to throw her around, because that's her thing. She gets physical with people. She's rougher. She's tougher than them, and she throws them around. But she couldn't do that this time. She tried at one point to take her down at the hip, and Holm just reversed it on her. Just reversed it on her because she's bigger than her, and it seemed like she might even be stronger too. And it was just so unorthodox and so rare to see Ronda just not be able to have her way whenever, wherever, however she wanted it. It lived up to the hype, and these are the kind of fights that you want to see out of UFC.
Holly Holmes is a big woman. She's
got a good base, man.
She's
got a good base.
She does have a good base.
Those are some tree trunks.
Yes, she does have a... She does have a nice base. I mean, good base. Sorry.
God, that girl. I think I'd have to be on top if we were just for my own safety.
You know what her nickname is? The preacher's daughter.
The preacher's daughter.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, he taught her well. He taught her how to throw a fucking hammer fist right in the face.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, Ron, no one stays on top forever, man. Nobody stays on top forever, including Ronda Rousey. And I listened to her podcast on Joe Rogan, and she acknowledged that. And maybe some of this was psychological, but I'll tell you what. I'm not saying that she's done or it's over or this is the start of her downward spiral, but it will not be the same Ronda Rousey when we see her fight next time.
I think her legacy will be based on how she recovers from this fight.
No question.
Yeah.
No question about that. How she bounces back is definitely going to be big. In my opinion, with the damage that she took, I think she should seriously consider taking 8 to 12 months off at least. Get your head right. Get your training. Maybe do a movie in the meantime and pay some bills. But give it a little time. You can't take damage like that every 6 months. It just doesn't work. It's going to catch up to you eventually. I believe she's 31 now.
No, she's born in 87.
87?
Yeah, she's around our age.
Really? So she's okay. So she's about your age then, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, still, it's no spring chicken though. So you always got to keep that in mind. Take a year off, Rhonda. Get your shit together. Come back, and you'll be stronger than ever. And you'll be whooping these bitches, and they'll forget about this little weekend that you got fucked up pretty bad.
Damn, man. And Rhonda, don't act. Please, just don't act, because you're not really good at it. But I would like to see you in the squared circle at WWE so you can go up against John Cena! John Cena! have you seen those?
No.
You haven't seen those video memes? Wait a minute.
What did you just call it? A mem? Is that some Texas shit? What the hell's a mem? I've never even heard of that.
M-E-M-E.
These are memes, motherfucker.
Memes, sorry.
Jesus. I was like, what is he talking about?
A video meme where they're showing something from like a movie or a TV show, and for instance, say from that TV show or that movie, they'll say, well, his name is, and then it'll pop up John Cena, and it's so annoying, because you know John Cena's everywhere and he's the face of the WWE. But speaking of that, I would really like, I wouldn't mind seeing Ronda Rousey in the square circle, you know, because I know some WWE divas would be very intimidated to be in the ring with someone who they know who could really kick their ass. But yeah, I think that'd be cool. And WrestleMania is going to be in AT&T Stadium this year, Jerry's World in Arlington, Texas, where they'll probably break the indoor stadium record. It's going to pack about 100,000 people, and Ronda Rousey is a first-class attraction. So, you know, that's a match made in heaven. And if she's going to take this time off, you know, why not do something that's entertaining, and you know, you're not going to get a lot of, you're not going to get hurt in. You know, I mean, you could get hurt.
You could definitely get hurt.
You can get hurt. You can get hurt in professional wrestling, but the chances of getting your nose broken or your neck broken in WWE is less likely than UFC.
Probably a little bit easier on the body. If she hasn't appeared on one of them shows yet, I guarantee, yeah, she'll be doing something in the next 6 to 8 months or something.
She was at WrestleMania last year. She didn't wrestle, but she made a cameo appearance with The Rock.
Oh, okay.
They're in the most recent Fast and Furious movie.
Okay, it's just Furious.
Furious, yes, Furious people.
Get it right, Cash.
Yes. Sorry, Vin Diesel and Paul Walker.
Yeah, may he rest in peace.
Yeah,
Yeah, that was a crazy fight. That was a crazy fight. I wish I would have seen it. Unfortunately, I just got the highlights. But hey, you never know. Like, no one stays on top forever. And Ronda's had a good run. So if this is the end for her, she's still going to be a legend. Then as far as her credentials go, that's for sure.
Speaking of crazy, you went into no man's land last night.
No man's land.
No man. Well. I'm sorry. Man's land for straight men.
Yeah.
You know,
it's actually a lot of man's land.
Yeah. A lot of man's land, you know, where they'll make you squeal like a pig or you can get.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. No, I am not. Just to make it clear, I am not. I'm not homophobic. You know, I'm not.
No homo.
You know, that was just a little cheap joke. I'm sorry for anyone who's got a. Who got offended? No,
they got offended because it sucked. That's why they got offended.
Sucked. No, oh, I see what you did there. Sucked. Hey,
pretty funny guy. No, he's talking about last night. I was actually doing some work. I'm doing some more promos, doing the promo thing. I had one last night for this. I'll give him a free plug here. Maybe I'll end up getting something out of it. I was doing it for this new liquor company. It's called Cold Spell.
Cold Spell, what kind of liquor?
Cold Spell. It is a mint whiskey.
That sounds interesting.
It's like a holiday version of Fireball, basically. That's the way I like to put it.
Holy shit.
But I'm more of a mint guy than cinnamon myself. You know, cinnamon's just kind of weird. Mint is, at least it kind of feels like maybe you almost have some kind of remnants of brushing your teeth, which feels nice.
I was about to say that, like,
nobody has cinnamon toothpaste.
Is it like Colgate or Aquafresh?
A little bit more of a kick at the end, but no, it's not too bad. It's a new thing. Give it a try, people. We were promoting it though. We were passing out swag. We're up at Neighbors. It was pretty funny. They have this on the website. They got all these things you choose from and, you know, all the requirements, this and that. Who can you be? What do you got to have? What can you wear? What can you not? Blah, 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 blah. And the only requirement for this one was males only. That was the one requirement.
Oh,
you had
man.
To have a dick. Otherwise, they didn't want you for this promotion. I've been to Neighbors a few times. I'm comfortable in my sexuality to say it. But this was a little bit slower, actually, than what I've been used to the times that I had been there. It wasn't the busiest of nights. Definitely still ended up being about five guys dancing on the dance floor with no shirts on. So that was about on track with the normal pace of male nudity in this joint. But there's a lot of the thing I do like about Neighbors is when the girls are there, they're there to party their fucking asses off, okay? Those girls are intent on doing one thing and one thing only, and that's shaking their butt cheeks, all right? Tons of hip gyrations. Those girls were going nuts, dancing their asses off, and that's what is nice about going to Neighbors, because any girl that's there is down to have a good-ass time. So the vibe is definitely something that's pretty good. I got to say that much.
I agree. I've never been to a gay dance club. I've been to a gay sports bar, but I can agree with you on the gay dance club because with women going to there because they're not expecting to get hit on, you know, they're around a bunch of gay men who they know aren't going to fuck with them. They may dance with them, but, you know, they're not going to be like, hey, so what are you doing later? Hey, want to go back to my house? But no, I totally agree with you. They can act like a fucking slut there. They can act like a fucking slut on the dance floor and just not give a damn. Like, they will shake their ass. Oh my goodness. Like, I may have to go in there and be like, my name's Twan. My name is Twan. You want to go dance? You want to go dance?
Hello?
My name is Twan. Want to go dance? Want to go dance, Felisa? And, you know, she's all up on me, you know, bouncing that big ass all on me, you know.
Mm.
You know.
Mm.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, I'm like, oh, I got to go to the restroom real quick.
I got to go to the...
Tuck in your boner. Dude, I'm convinced, man. After I was looking around, I was doing a lot of people watching. I'm convinced that at least in Neighbors, 30 to 40% of the gay population in there is faking it.
What? No.
I saw these groups of guys. No. There'd be four queers hanging out with one hot chick, and every one of those motherfuckers was touching and groping her all over the fucking place.
No shit.
Grabbing her skirt, you know, lower back, kind of on the borderline between lower back and ass. You know that line where you're kind of toting it and you're like, where are we going? Are we going north or are we going south here? What's the vibe like? Where are we at in this thing? Every one of them are groping that one hot chick. I was like, these motherfuckers, all they've done is found a undercover way to get away with being huge creeps. That's all they've done. 30 to 40% of the population. All right. That is my guess. And because there was groups where 100% of the guys were doing it. So some of these guys are just fucking fakers, and that's just their angle. They couldn't get any pussy, so they said, well, you know, maybe we'll give the gay thing a try, and now they're just sticking with the gay thing, and that's just their angle for fooling a girl into giving them a blowjob. I don't know what the fuck, but there were some imposters there last night. I'm gonna leave it with that. There was definitely some imposters.
Have you ever met or ran into an imposter? Imposter lesbian?
I feel like all lesbians are imposters.
No, wait, no. What makes you think that, Slim?
I think you can make any girl out there get a little bi-curious from time to time, especially if their self-esteem's low, if things aren't going well, if they're in a little bit of a cold slump with the guys. I think you can convince any girl to make out with some chick and maybe feel them up a little bit and get a little touchy and grope them. I think any girl has that capability. Now, there's the full-on bull dykes that, yeah, they're not interested in a dick or any of that kind of stuff. All they're interested in is what kind of flannels do you got in your closet. but for the most part, I think girls are... They can turn that switch on and off really quick. Whereas guys, it's a longer, slower transition. And even when guys are going for it, I don't even think they're convinced a lot of times. So it's weird. I'm rambling on here about something that I probably don't even know enough about. But like I said, there's some fucking imposters out there, and there's some guys who are being gay is their angle for hitting on chicks. It was a fun night, though, man. It was a fun night. You know, it's nice. You're basically just partying and getting paid. You're just talking to people, bugging people, doing whatever. So it was cool. It was a fun experience. I just gave it a shot just to see what would happen. Definitely good to get in the mix there. Listen to that. You know. Yeah, that was my weekend, though.
Man, so... I was really pissed off Friday on my way home from work. I had a dead cell phone, and I have to pass through, not like literally pass through, but on I-90 East, I passed through CenturyLink Stadium, and that night they had the Arches colors were Paris's flag colors, and I really wanted a picture of that, you know, from me, not from one of the news outlets or the Seattle Times, from me. And it fucking pissed me off that my phone was dead. I was going to get off that exit because my girlfriend showed me a spot that was a gorgeous skyline of Seattle, but to the left was Safeco Field and CenturyLink Stadium. And I really wanted a picture of CenturyLink with the Arches being the color of Paris's flag, but I had a dead fucking phone, and that really pissed me off. Like, seriously,
man. Now that you said that, I just realized how much of an inconsiderate prick I am. I was driving down to the city today, driving by the PIMCO Insurance building, and the building was the colors were red, white, and blue. And as I was driving by, I said to myself, what's going on here? Why don't they have the fucking Hawks colors up there? Why it's always green and it's always
Are you
green
serious?
And blue. And now I realize why.
You consider it, motherfucker.
Yeah, I wasn't mad. I wasn't upset with them. I just didn't know what was going on. And now that you've said that, I realize. But,
oh my God, Slim! Like,
yeah, hey, listen,
How come you can only think about yourself? This is why you can't get any pussy.
This is
in
why
Seattle.
I'm still single.
Yeah, this is This is one of the most dateable cities. Dateable towns I've ever lived in, and you can't get pussy. And now I know why. You put yourself first. You put yourself ahead in front of other people. That's why you can't get pussy. That's why.
Hey,
you know, a girl invites you back to Netflix and chilled, and you're like, oh, can my dog come? You know. Hey, can you rub my feet? She wants to fucking Netflix and chill, and you want to get your fucking feet rubbed.
Hey, there's no you and me, you know, okay? That's my motto, all right? That's what I live by.
You know?
No, that was... What a crazy weekend. I mean, obviously, we got to talk about this. Obviously, we got to address this. This is some pretty big shit, and if this had happened in the U.S., this is definitely all people would have been talking about for the last 2-3 days, for even a few weeks, but...
No. You know what? No, fuck that. I really want you to think about when you say, if this would have happened in the U.S., this would have affected us. Now...
I'm not saying it's an effect. I'm just saying this is all that anybody would be talking about if it had happened in the U.S.
You sure? I'm sure? If it would have happened to anyone in the U.S., anyone, white, black, Christian, Catholics, Muslims in the U.S., you sure about that? You sure that what happened in Paris, if what happened in Paris happened to anyone here on U.S. soil ground, it would have been a big issue. Is that what you're saying?
It's a big issue either way. It's a big issue either way.
What do you think if ISIS attacked somewhere like Atlanta, Georgia, where it's a huge black population, you know, and a lot of the victims would have been African American, you think it still would have got the media attention?
No question. People would
you sure about that?
People would have been freaking out more when it happened. But yeah, it would definitely get
because everyone coverage. Seems to forget what fucking happened in Kenya.
Well, there's these incidents all over the place. There's some people that don't even realize really what happened. I bet people who don't watch the news, and there's a lot of people that don't even watch the news at all. I'm sure they don't even know what happened in Paris this weekend. They probably have no clue.
No, everyone knows what happened in Paris. It was on every single fucking channel.
That's true. It was on
Friday. It was. CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC. Happened. You know, you couldn't turn to any channel and not see what was going on Friday.
Yeah, Friday, that's for sure.
Yeah. You know, I feel like my opinion is, and I was talking to someone about this, my opinion is the reason the Paris attacks got so much media attention. It's because Paris is a big religious country. There a lot of Catholics live there, and the United States always talks about oh religious freedom. You know, we don't care what you practice, but you know. What happened in Kenya? Kenya did not get as much media attention as Paris does. Why does the victims, in my opinion, have to be white to get, you know, to get that media attention, that huge media exposure? You know,
there probably is something behind that. I'm not going to say that the media has a bias. I just think that the way this happened and their considered a Western society like the United States is.
Exactly. Exactly. Because Paris, we can relate to Paris, but we can't relate to Kinga. That's why. Kinga was horrible and tragic too, just like Paris. But like I said, Kinga did not get that media attention.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off because the United States is supposed to be this diverse cultural country, but we really showed how conservative we are. I felt like this past weekend. Now, don't get me wrong. What happened in Paris is a tragedy. My thoughts and prayers are with the victims of the family of the victims, but I think we really showed how conservative we are, how conservative the media is, and it's sad.
Well, and they are biased. There's no question about it. I mean, I haven't thought of it that way that you said, but you're right. They were definitely very similar incidents, and yeah, one of them, it got 2 seconds of airplay, and then it was done. They were done with it, and this one, they blew it up big. Again, my opinion, I think it would have been even, I don't even think it was as big as it probably should have been. I'm not saying that this is some cataclysmic event, some major change, some everything's about to be different. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that people aren't really talking about it all that much still. They do, but they weren't talking about it as much as I personally would think. But there's no question the media has a bias, man. I mean, they've made that clear for the last 20 years at this point, you know. And maybe it's black and white people that got shot. Maybe it is. Maybe it's European allies versus Africa, which always gets shit on. Who knows exactly what the reason is? But there is definitely a bias. There's no questioning that. What was your whole take on the situation, though?
Like, what do you mean by that? Like,
I mean. You know, obviously it's a tragedy.
Yes.
Anytime innocent people die.
Yes.
What is your take on what happened? What we're doing from here? What's probably going to happen?
French responded. The French responded. They bombed where ISIS is at. They like less than 24 hours later. Like they
so problem solved.
Well, it's going to take a little bit more than that, but they did not waste time sending a message, hey, you're just not going to come on our soil and fuck with us like that. Fuck with innocent people. But when I first heard about it, I'm like, this is fucked up. But when I was thinking about it, you know, I was just like, why didn't Kinga get the attention too? And not to be selfish and take anything away from what happened in Paris, but I think as a nation, we need to, you know, if all lives really matter to the conservative Republican world, maybe every incident in that happens, you need to care about, you know, and not be like, oh, you know, oh, they're Kinga. They're, you know, we can't really relate to them. But
well, you don't watch Fox News, though, man. So who knows?
Fuck maybe, Fox News.
Maybe they were all over the Kenya coverage. Maybe they were killing it on that.
Fuck Bill O'Reilly. Fuck Ann Coulter.
You never know.
Fuck Brett. No, fuck Bill O'Reilly. I can't stand that son of a bitch.
No spin. Listen, this. This is my take on the whole situation, on the whole Paris attacks. This right here is a perfect example of one of the downsides to a truly free society. Okay, this is the kind of stuff that can happen when everybody has freedoms, everybody has rights, and other things like that. You have the freedom to do what you want. You have the right to do what you want. When it starts affecting or hurting other people, obviously that's when the police and other people have to intervene. But this is a part of our society, and people want to freak out and they want to be as harsh and as critical. You know, you got the president of France and he's saying, this is an act of war. that, you know, our response will be merciless and ruthless and this and that. How about addressing the people of your country and talking about the state that they're in and how things are going and how the response to this was handled, and the good and the bad? Why can't we just look at that first and take care of the people in this country, as opposed to just immediately jumping to who are we going to bomb for this? Who's going to get bombed here? Where do we drop the bombs? Tell us where these bombs go, and let's get these bombs, and let's square this thing up. Even Steven, they got 120. We better get 250. I just, what are we focusing on here? You know, this is always going to be a possibility in any free society. Shoddy, if me and you right now got some assault rifles, got some ammo, got some vests, got some shit together, you don't think we could go down to a popular place at the right time of day and do some damage? Maybe knock out 40, 50, 60 people?
No, actually what would happen is I would get shot about 50 times and they would just arrest you.
No,
you know that. Come on. Come on, man.
Well, if it's us working together, I'm going to make sure, you know, you're concealed until the last minute, you know? But if we wanted to go down there anywhere, bus station, a mall, whatever, me and you could do some damage. Yeah, we're going to get capped, obviously.
No, like I said, I'll get shot about 50 times. You'll get tackled and arrested.
Listen, fucker, don't be getting all jokey.
No, I am fucking serious. Come on, man. Come on.
You'd
be the one considered with mental issues, and I'll be the one considered as a fucking thug. Come on.
Well, hey, that would be about right if we went shooting up some mall. But the point I'm trying to make here is you're always going to have that in a free society. You're always going to have those 2, 3, 8, 10, 12 guys who, if they're pissed off enough and they can get their hands on some munitions, can wreak some havoc and do some damage. That's always going to be there. You're never going to. The only other option, as opposed to that, as opposed to not having to worry about that, is having a military agent on every corner holding an assault rifle at all times. Okay, that's our only other option, people. And I guarantee there might not be 127 deaths and a whole theater shot up at a time. If we were in that scenario, it might not be that way. But I guarantee you, the number of people shot overall would certainly be higher. 100% more people were going to get shot if you put military men on every fucking corner and have them with a gun that's fully loaded and give them discretion to use at their own will. I guarantee you're going to have more people shot than that. And you're not even going to completely eliminate that chance of a lone wolf getting their hands on something and making something happen. So if we want to live in a free society like we currently have, this is something that, unfortunately, is going to have to happen from time to time. And
No. We
just got to make sure that the response is swift, is proper, and that people are taken care of, and that we don't let ourselves change our day-to-day lives because of these isolated incidents.
That's not an America I want to live in. I'm not the type that's... I feel like I don't need a gun. And it pissed me off how... For instance, Donald fucking Trump said, you know how, Slim, do you know how he responded to this?
Oh, God. I'm sure he wanted us to bomb somebody.
No, he said, if they had guns in Paris, maybe none of this would have happened. Motherfucker, how can a gun help you when shit is exploding?
That's true.
How are guns going to help you from bombs?
I will say, though, the suicide bombers were much less effective than the gunmen were. The suicide bombers, I don't even know if they killed a dozen people. I think one of them killed four, and one of those people was himself. But they were not nearly as effective. I will give Trump some credit there, but he...
Well, you're going to give Trump credit?
I'll give him a little bit. Why?
Why?
Because if some guy who was a good shooter audience...
He was just using his speech to push his fucking agenda.
Well, that's what they're all going to do, though, man. That's what all these politicians are going to do. They're going to use this as an opportunity to push what they want to push and to push their agenda and what they believe in and who is deepest into their pockets as far
as... In a tragedy like this, you're going to use this tragedy to push your fucking agenda? That's fucking bullshit, man.
That's politics 101, though, man. That's use any tragedy or any situation to your advantage and use it as an opportunity.
That's fucking despicable. That's what that is.
It is, but that's how politics go in this country, man. It's crazy.
It's crock of shit.
It, you know, again, guys, we just we can't be too overzealous when we want to come back from this. You know, like he said, they want to bomb this, they want to bomb that. I don't care how many bombs we drop, you're never going to kill all of your enemies. I don't care how many bombs you drop. And yeah, bombs can kill people, bombs destroy stuff, but bombs can create things too. And what bombs create are new enemies.
This is true.
You have a kid who his dad, just a farmer in Syria or Libya, which I don't know if anybody listening to this knows, but we're still bombing Libya. That was supposed to be an in and out deal. Just drop a few bombs and be done. But it's 2+ years later now, and we're still bombing Libya. But you have some kid who his dad, his family, everybody that means anything to him is killed in one of these drone strikes, which these drone strikes, they just came out with statistics in the last few weeks that said, I believe 80% of the people who die in drone strikes are not the intended targets. 8 out of 10 people that these strikes kill are not the intended targets. So you got some kid whose dad and his entire family gets killed. He has nothing. Everything's been taken away from him. What do you think he's going to do when he grows up, huh? You think he's going to try to get even with the motherfuckers who took everything he has away from them? He has nothing to lose now. What do you think he's going to do? He's going to fall right into the trap, and he's going to be this suicide bomber now who's going to the stadium and killing 3 other people, including himself, when he has no chance of surviving. And they just take advantage of these young, lost souls, and we're just creating more and more and more of them. And we can keep bombing. We can keep shooting. We can do all this shit that we want, but you're never going to kill them all. You're never going to kill them all because you're just creating just as many as you're killing. And so here's my plan, guys. Why don't we try something new? We've had 20 years of failed policy when it comes to the Middle East. 20 years. I don't know if you can look back and see one decision that we made that was good, that you can say, wow, that one really worked out for us. We really did the right thing there. 20 years. Here's my new plan. Let's try something. We've tried pretty much everything else. How about we try doing nothing? Maybe we try doing nothing here and see what that does for us. You know, I'm a big Tim Ferriss fan. He a lot of times says, what if I do the exact opposite? What if we do the exact opposite of what we've been doing here? And as far as over-intervening, why don't we try to let these people handle their own affairs in their own ways and however they see fit?
Wow. Do nothing.
Crazy concept, but you know what? We've tried everything else, and there's still fucking people dying. We still have a war going on in Syria that's lasted for 4+ years. Iraq is still on the brink of God knows what. I mean, we don't even know. We're talking about media bias over here. We don't even know what's going on in Iraq, really. We just get the tidbits that the Defense Department want us to see, probably.
Why don't we give... They talk about it for 30 seconds, and then boom, they're on to... The media is on to something else.
Yeah. And I'll tell you exactly why we don't try doing nothing. You want to know why we haven't even given this a shot? Given it a sliver of hope?
Why is that?
No one's making any fucking money if we're not doing anything, man. General Dynamics not making any money. Lockheed Martin's not making any money. Halliburton ain't making any money. No one makes shit off of doing nothing, man.
Fuck War Halliburton. War is a racket. Fuck Halliburton.
War is a racket, and you want to keep the profits going, you keep the fucking bullets flying, all right? That's the only way. If you do nothing, no one makes shit, and that is why they won't do it, people. You heard it here first. If you guys want to do something about this, maybe start looking at 2016 here, start talking to the fucking candidates and saying, hey, how about a candidate who is anti-war, who's going to end every war we're in? How about one of them? You don't hear him because the fucking defense contractors are spending more money on lobbying than anybody else out there. It's all a fucking racket, man, and it's who's going to make money off of it and who's going to prosper off of whatever tragedy. It doesn't matter, man. This is just it's politics 101, and it's the same shit, and it's the same shit that's going to fucking sink us.
I agree. It's sad. It's sad that our some of our politicians want would rather make money than do good for our country.
Some. Wow, you're more optimistic than me. Jesus.
Hey, Barack Obama, he's not part of that. I feel like he's not part of that political machine.
These drone strikes are on him, though, man.
No.
These drone strikes are on him.
I feel like
and they're going on he's constantly.
Not, he's not part of that fucking political system like W was. Bill Clinton, Hillary, Bush number one, fucking Ronald Reagan. He's not part of that. You know, he will go down. I think he will go down as the most underrated president in history. As well, for conservatives and Republicans, they think that, and I've heard this because, you know, I lived in Texas and I still have very little Texas friends. They think that he will go down as the worst president in history. However,
they thought that the day he went into office, though. Let's be real here.
Oh, yeah.
The day he was elected, they thought he would go down as the worst president.
Yeah, not even giving him a fucking chance. But, you know, even though Congress isn't really they are fucking him. They've been fucking Obama since day one. They, you know, how can you effectively run a country if Congress isn't willing to work with you? I mean,
yeah, he definitely didn't have any support or any backup, but. You know, I think he's been a pretty good president. He's certainly tried as hard, but again, I mean, I come back to the drone strikes, and when you're killing innocent people, I can't overlook that. I'm sorry, Obama. Everything else, you know, you did your best, but these drone strikes are completely unacceptable. You can't be killing innocent people just in the name of profits. It's just horrendous, and it's fucking shameful. And it's killing our credibility on a global scale here. So we talked about politicians prospering and taking up on opportunity. This is going to sound awful and terrible to some people, but I feel like this situation in Paris is an opportunity for the U.S. And again, back
exactly.
to my theory.
That's what I was saying, man, because like I said, the U.S. can relate to Paris. It's not a Christian country, but is a religious country. All you saw in those pictures and those videos were white people. They're probably Catholic or Christians. And we want to make, you know, there's some politicians out there who want to make out the United States as this Christian country. We are not. You know, and when I first moved here to Seattle, I realized that this is not a religious city. You know, compared to I lived in the South for the first, you know, 26 years of my life where religious is huge, and up here it's not. And you know, I was just astonished on how a lot of people here are agnostic. They're atheists. They
vegan.
Believe in God. They believe in God, but they never go to church. They have their own personal relationship with God. But you know, this is not we cannot. I feel like we shouldn't base this country off of religion, in my opinion, and. I know that's going to shock some people who know me because I grew up in a church with some of you, but I just feel like we shouldn't base this country off of religion. This country should, you know, we need to start pushing religious freedom more. Not if you're not a Baptist or a Catholic. You don't fucking matter. If you're not, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. If you're not white or a Christian and believe in God, you don't fucking matter.
That's changing though, man. That whole opinion, I agree. This is a country under God still, unfortunately. But that sentiment overall is changing, and it's going to take time because that's something that's been rooted. It's rooted in our country. They tried to make it so it wasn't, but it's definitely still there. But that is a tone that is certainly changing. And like you said, the people around here who they have a relationship with God, but they're not really religious, so they don't go to church and do all that stuff. It's just the whole mood, and it is changing, and it's just it's a big change. So it's going to take more time than you think, but it's like a cruise ship. You can't change the direction of a cruise ship. It won't turn on a dime. You got to spin that wheel a couple times though, and eventually you'll start getting a few degrees starboard, and eventually things will change. But it's just going to take a little bit of time. We're not quite there yet, but. You know, tragic situation and craziness nonetheless. I just hope that we don't overreact here, people. That's my biggest fear. I hope we don't overreact. We can take this as an opportunity, and this is going to sound rude, but this is an opportunity for the U.S. This is an opportunity for us to maybe kind of take a passenger or a back seat to all this fight against ISIS, against extremists in the Middle East. Unfortunately, we might have created this problem, but we're not the ones who stand.
No, W created this problem.
We're not the ones who stand to suffer the most from it, clearly. Clearly, France has been laid out as a target. And say what you want, this is going to sound rude again, but there was some provocation there. Okay, this isn't just random. This isn't just France just got unlucky. They got an unlucky roll of the dice here. Their laws and their rules against Muslims have definitely brought up some provocation to this. And I'm not saying this was warranted or justified or that they had it coming. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that to say that they're completely innocent and they had played no hand in this is a pretty naive way of looking at things. So we need a shift here. Okay, we need a shift. And I don't think dropping more bombs, and I don't think more merciless and more ruthless responses, I don't think that's ever got us anywhere. I don't think more fighting has ever solved any of our problems. We need to get to the root of these problems, okay? Bombs and bullets don't solve problems. Creative thinking and collaboration do. And that's what we need to do here. We need to have some empathy for these people. We need to try to see things from other people's perspective. And we need to figure out something where we can just all fucking get along and respect each other and not have to deal with this crazy shit. Because this is crazy shit. And this is stuff that happened 1,000 years ago, but shouldn't be happening anymore. Should not be happening anymore.
Like racism.
Yeah, well, that one's still a little fresher, but...
Whew. Yeah?
Yeah.
Like how, you know, like I mentioned earlier, how Kenya did not get the same fucking media attention like Paris. But, you know, I'm going to stop rambling about that.
That's because they can't make a good crepe in Kenya.
A good what?
A good crepe. You know, little pastry motherfucking things.
You're a dick. I know you did that just to get a smile on my face because I got pretty fucking carried away.
He actually started drooling a little bit when I started talking about desserts.
No,
there was
I
a
didn't.
Little bit of something on this left
no,
cheek. I'm not
just
gonna say exactly what it was, but
oh man,
quite the weekend though, man. Quite the weekend. There's,
yes,
not gonna forget this one for a while.
Speaking of fuck ups. Did you hear what happened to the Jiffy Lube in Maple Valley?
Oh, God. Oh, boy. This is going to be a good one.
So, what had happened was this man went to the Jiffy Lube in Maple Valley to go get his oil changed. And they took out the oil, but they never put any back in.
You got to put it back in?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, that's what she said. And, yeah, and because of that, the engine fucked up. And, of course, it was Jiffy Lube's fault, even though you're supposed to check. You're personally supposed to check your car to see if they put the oil back in. However, what Jiffy Lube decided to do to settle it was to give him the Kelley Blue Book value of the car, which was $2,400, but it cost $4,000 to get a comparable car, or a new engine for the 2001 Toyota Camry that he was driving. I'm sorry, it was a 2001 Toyota Camry that he got an oil change for. Well, they didn't put any new oil back in, so yeah.
Maybe he just didn't pay for that part of the service. Maybe he only paid for the oil removal and not the oil fill-up. So maybe that's why they left him high and dry there.
You can't do that. There is no such thing.
They're like Spirit Airlines, man. They're nickel and diming you anywhere they can these days.
No, that's Southwest.
Oh, gosh. At least they're not charging you for that extra bag.
Yeah. No, well, Southwest is like the fucking Greyhound buses of airlines. God. They'll do anything to get your fucking business. Have you seen those videos on YouTube where the Southwest Airlines stewardess or the flight attendants, I'm sorry, the Southwest Airlines flight attendants, they're singing over the intercom, or they're doing a rap before takeoff to entertain the people that are flying? Like, how fucking low do you have to do, or how fucking desperate are you to make up for the fact that the whole fucking plane is coach? There's no first class. You probably have peanuts and Sprite for the fucking meal. You don't have the first class gourmet meals like American Airlines, United, and Delta does. So you have to make it with that.
gourmet my ass. Nothing that goes on a fucking airplane is gourmet.
I've been flying since I was 2 years old. And no, seriously, my grandma worked for Delta for 20 years. So, and I took advantage of her flying benefits. And I used to work for an airline.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You told me that.
Yeah. I used to work for an airline for a few months. And I got first class one time from New York to Dallas. And the dinner they made, it was green beans, salmon, and rice. And it was pretty damn good. And of course the wine was free. So I got pretty tipsy. I got drunk on a plane. Like, I can tell my grandkids that, if I have any. Or yeah.
Don't get too optimistic.
Yeah.
Come on.
I got drunk on a fucking plane. I'm on a plane, bitch. I'm on a plane, bitch.
God. Speaking of drunk on a plane and fuck ups. Just got done watching that Seahawks game.
Oh,
God, this is the fucking season of the heartbreaking loss, man. This is crazy. This is one of the first times all year where the defense was the people who were actually fucking up and might have lost this game for us.
The Legion of Boom.
God, they were not – well, I mean, they did good. They had some good plays. They had a couple of turnovers, which were big, but just a – really disappointing loss. This is definitely one that we needed. We were still going to be behind the Cardinals, even if we did beat them, but we're going to be a lot closer. But God, 4-5 makes the playoffs look tough at this point. Just one of those seasons. Again, we come full circle from where we started this podcast. Nobody stays on top forever. Hawks got to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Nobody stays on top forever, but fuck me, hey, man, when it's you falling from grace, God, that shit kind of stinks, and it hurts a little bit. This one, we were right there. We were right fucking there. But on a lighter note, though, the bandwagon got a lot more spacious and roomy. So
feel
free to kick your legs out, true Seahawks fans, and maybe throw your arms behind your head and just kind of relax and use that extra space that has been created in the last week here, in the last hour and a half, I should say.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Sunday night, but it's another tough one, tough weekend. And, you know, I know there was something that you wanted to talk about. And what was that was going on with you?
Yes. On we're about to sign off here, but
we're about to wrap this on a long, somewhat sad, somewhat nostalgic weekend.
On a lighter note, and I told him I would do this. Before I moved up here to Seattle, I was a customer service manager at a grocery store in West Texas specifically La Mesa, Texas, about 40 minutes south of Lubbock. And I met a cashier there. I was his direct supervisor. His name was Billy Williams. He was with the company since 1987. And unfortunately, I heard on Friday that he passed away. This was a, he was a great man. He was a veteran. And he was a stand-up guy. Very respectful. And I feel for that. I feel for that community. Not only he was a hard worker for the grocery store, he was a well-known citizen of La Mesa, Texas. And not only the store lost a great employee, that whole community lost a great man. The town's only like 9,500 people. So it's a, everyone knows everyone town. And everyone knew who he was. There were only two grocery stores in the town. So, and we were the most, the grocery store I worked at was the more popular one. So a lot of, the majority of the population of the town shopped at that one. They knew who he was. And like I said, he's worked for the company since 1987. So it was probably company-wide news that he passed away, but he was a great guy, and he would buffer the floor. This guy never took a day off. He was like in his late 60s, early 70s. He never took a day off. From 7 a.m. to 11 a.m., he would be a checker Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Friday, and from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. for like 4 days a week, he would buffer the floors. Like, and usually, because this was a chain grocery store, it wasn't like an independent grocery store. For chain grocery stores, we usually hire a third party to buffer our floors, but since it was such a small store, he would do it. And I'm just like, man, like, you need to rest, man. Like, but I mean, he was so proud to be an employee for that company. And I know that the city of La Mesa is, you know, they lost one of their own. They lost one of their own. And I just want to let the city of La Mesa and everyone at United Supermarkets store number 540 that my thoughts and prayers are with you. And Billy Williams, if you're listening to me now, I miss you. I enjoyed working with you. May you rest in peace.
You will be missed, Billy. You will be missed. Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of mourning. Pray for all the people out there. You know, I'm not a religious guy, but pray for him, guys, and you know, just do me a favor. We're gonna sign it out here, guys. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you guys. Hopefully, listen to us again, and just do me a favor, guys. Just treat everybody with respect, okay? Be nice to each other. Treat everybody with respect. Treat them how you want to be treated, because at the end of the day, that's what a civilized society that we live in is about. It's based on people treating each other with respect, not being dicks, being nice to each other, and treating people how they should. And when it comes down to it, that's all we got. And if we lose that, then we're screwed, guys. So do me a favor. Be nice to everybody. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate you here. Another edition of Earful in the Emerald City. I'm Slim.
And I'm Shoddy. And next week will be more funnier and less serious, because I know that you probably didn't laugh a lot. You probably didn't laugh a lot this episode. We got carried away on Paris. We went a little bit overtime than we were supposed to on the Paris attacks topic. But I guarantee you, next time we'll be more funny. We'll stick to what we do best. But just like we mentioned a second ago, I'm Shoddy.
I'm Slim. Be nice to each other, you guys. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Peace out.
Thanks for joining Shoddy and Slim on An Earful in the Emerald City. Hope you survived this torture. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Join us next time and tell your friends about the show.